Christmas to all of you. This is 2020. What year is it? 2025. And I've had so many Christmases in my life, I can't remember what year it is. There's nothing that gets me in the celebratory mood any better than that song. That's Celtic Women. I absolutely love that song. And it is a time of celebrating. Remember that when Jesus was born in a manger where it was obviously pretty quiet, except for the sounds of animals doing various things, you know, donkeys or cows mooing. Out of that came this huge celebration of music from God himself, inspiring his angels to come and sing glory to God and to in the highest and to earth, peace on earth. And so that's how we start the show today. This is our Christmas special for you, and my sweetheart, Bruce, is sitting next to me. We're going to just chat a little bit of Christmas with you. Hi, honey.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. You're a Christmas guy.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
I want to tell people how I first figured that out.
Okay.
The first Christmas we spent together, we weren't married, and I was in an apartment in Chicago. No, I think that's the first Christmas. I remember it in Chicago. Okay, I should check out my notes. I should do more reading before I go on the air. But
it wasn't the first, but it's close.
You came in the apartment with this little like creation with legs, look like a snowman with a long nose, with a hat that went up and down, and you push the buttons. Have a happy jolly Christmas! It's the best time of the year. I don't. No, there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Anyway, and it was a motion sensor. Yes. And every time you moved, you got, have a holly jolly.
Yeah, there was a Frasier episode with the same thing with a Santa Claus that was activated. And every time they walked by it, he'd go, ho, ho, ho. And at first they loved it by about the 20th time they were ready to throw it out the
Well,
window.
We could relate, but now we've been married almost 17 years,
mm-hmm.
and we still have it, and we
yes,
still
we
use
do.
It, and it reminds, this is just Bruce, he just is like a kid when it comes to Christmas, and that was the first thing, of the first Christmas I remember, him buying something that, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's been resurrected a few times, but he's still hanging in there. We just batteried him up on Saturday, and he's still working.
You know what, Bruce? We've had some pretty amazing Christmases together, and even though one of our great regrets, both of us, is that we don't have much family, but I would say that God has blessed us in so many ways. You remember when we were in Washington, D.C.?
I do.
And we decided to go to London for 5 days because a friend of mine worked for American Airlines. He had done some stuff with me, and he wanted to give this trip as a gift for his free mileage, and we could go anytime. So you want to tell him how that developed? We were like, I don't know.
Well, we weren't sure when we would redeem the ticket, and it was Christmas Eve morning, and we were sitting in our apartment and just decided, you know what? I wonder if there's any flights today.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. Christmas Eve. Went online, boom. Two tickets at like 3 o'clock, and it was like 11 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock, and it was a scramble. Let's go. So we booked them, threw stuff in the suitcase, and it was going to be very, very abnormally cold in England, so you needed a lot of clothing. Booked them, went to the airport. We had to catch a flight from Washington, D.C. to New York, and when we got to Washington, they said, well, there's two tickets, but the plane is overweight. So we can only allow one of you to go. And so that was a dilemma. And then the captain came out, just happened to come out and talk to the gate person and said, well, we can get them both on there. So we both ended up on the flight. Then we get to New York, and there were two gates that we might have gone out of. And one, they were pretty far apart. And Sandy had just had her hips operated on. And
yeah,
so,
not moving real fast.
We were going to be the last ones called because we were the lowest priority. And so she went down to one gate and I went to the other. And all of a sudden, the one I'm at, they called rather two tickets. So I'm yelling down the hallway of the airport, Sandy, come on.
Because he can't leave the gate.
I can't leave the gate. They hand us two tickets, first class seats. To London.
First class seats, American Airlines to London.
And
think about that.
The gentleman that had given us the tickets was tracking us online. He called up. He was so mad. He goes, I've been flying those free tickets for 20 years, and I've never gotten first class.
Yeah, he was an executive with American. That's never happened to me, he said.
Yeah, so we flew first class to London.
And I guess I should say, you have to understand that Bruce and I, well, we don't fly first class. We
no.
really do budget. And so this was amazing. This was actually a real, really wonderful gift. And we got to London. It's a surprise trip to London that day. And they had a strike for the luggage delivery.
The baggage handlers were on strike, and we kept waiting and waiting. We weren't aware of it. So finally, I walked back to the baggage area and talked to somebody, and he goes, you're not getting your bags today unless, and he opened the door, and it was like a gymnasium full of luggage. I mean, just packed.
And goes, not stacked neatly.
Says, if you can find your bags, you can get them out of here today. So we went in, and it was very fortunate. We were blessed that day. They were fairly close to the front. So we grabbed them, jumped in a prototypical English taxi, which took us to our hotel. Our hotel was like a little old, probably 1800s type place.
Right by Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
And we stayed like up in the attic, like an attic room.
An attic room that had the slope ceiling.
The dormers. Yeah.
And it was very cold, but we would leave the window open, a crack, so you'd get the fresh air, and you could hear the bells from... Trafalgar Square.
And you could feel the underground every time it would go, and the room would shake.
When the tube would go under, you could feel the tube.
So we went out every day. We hired a cab one time. We actually walked all over London, over and over every day. It was five really rich, wonderful days. The only time we took a cab was to go to Piccadilly Circus, where we went to see, that's funny. We went to see a musical, which name I can't remember. Les Miserables. Bruce had never seen it. And so we took that little cab, that little British cab to Piccadilly Circus. And
to the West End.
Well, Bruce, you should tell them what happened next.
So anyway, we're a little early. So I went up to get us some Cokes from the bartender. And so I'm making small talk with him. And I said, Les Miserables, how's the show? Is it good? He looked at me and he goes, well, it's been playing for 20 years here. I guess it is. I never felt like such a rube in my life. I'm like, okay. And he's probably thinking, stupid American. They know nothing.
Well, you know what? And the theater was very old. And the balcony kind of wrapped around. And we had seats right down front of the balcony. It was phenomenal. The other thing I'll just mention before we got... We spent hours all day, really, in Churchill's bunker.
Oh, yeah.
And the British War Museum on a different day. So that's the kinds of things that we did. But that was one of our Christmases, which was marvelous.
That was a wonderful one.
So, Bruce, what gave you this fun thing about Christmas? Why do you like it so much?
Well, you know what? I think a lot of it was from my parents. They didn't emphasize birthdays and things like that. We were pretty low-key about that, but... However they did it on their limited budget, they always made Christmas a big deal. And it was sort of unusual because my dad worked for the post office, so if he worked Christmas Eve, he got like double time pay. So we'd have to kind of wedge everything in. We always, on Christmas Eve, well, let's put it this way. So we would have a tree in the living room. And there would be certain packages under it, usually packages from relatives, maybe a couple from my parents, but not much. Then we would have a Christmas Eve night service at our church. And when we would go, there would only be, say, 10 packages under the tree. But magically, Santa always knew how to come, when to come, and when we would come back from Christmas Eve service, there would be tons of presents under the tree. And I guess I wasn't very bright. I never quite figured out that my mom was always a little bit late getting into the car for the Christmas Eve service. She must have been pulling gifts out from under beds and closets like a maniac, because there it would be when we got home. So we would open our stuff, And at about 9:30, my dad would leave to go off to work, and we'd stay up playing with our things. And, you know, my mom, she was very crafty, so she always had really neat Christmas. Everybody remembers probably their little ceramic Christmas tree with the little plastic ornaments that you placed in it with a light inside of it. You know, we had things like that around the house.
The things that she made look like you paid tons in the store. She was a real craftsman. She was wonderful. Didn't you see Santa one year?
Yes, I did. I was about 8 years old, and it was Christmas Eve, and I was in the bathtub. And we didn't have a big house, so it wasn't a long run from the bathroom to the living room. And my parents had a bobtail bells on the front door. And while I'm in the bathtub, all of a sudden I hear the bells on the front door, and my dad goes, "Oh, Santa's here!" And let's just say I jumped up out of that bathtub buck naked and ran into the living room. And my mother's like, "Get back in that bathtub. What are you doing?" And to this day, I was like, "Mom, I saw his foot. I saw his boot. I saw Santa's boot going out the door." And I still to this day, I think I did. And she's like, "Well, whatever you saw, get back in that bathtub."
Well, that's where they're, so that's a great story. You know, I think we should, that reminds me of the song we should listen to that's fun. And I know you like this group, and I do too. And of course, it's the true meaning of Christmas, which is the coming of Christ, but it's fun. The Martins, Go Tell.
There were shepherds on a hillside, there were angels in the sky. They said, "Boys, don't you be afraid, this is the night of your life. There's a baby in a manger that the whole world needs to know. It begins here with you, here's what you must do. Go tell, go tell, go tell, go tell what you see."
Celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Go tell. your car phone.
All right, the Martins, Go Tell. You can tell how old that song is by the car phone statement. Does anybody still have a car phone? Anyway, I love the Martins. And this is Bruce and Sandy. This is our Christmas special for you. And we're having some fun a little bit. We cover such heavy topics, as you know. And it's just nice to lighten up and remember some fun things. We're talking about Bruce's Christmas. I have a little different, you know, my parents were, depression babies, and they were very, very poor growing up. And they, you know, they just were very poor. And they never celebrated Christmas. Like, we never, in our home, never talked about Santa Claus. It was never an issue. And they made Christmas nice, but it was nice in a different way. Because they'd been so poor, they did not lavish gifts, because we were not poor when I was a kid, but we were conservative, and we, you know, I had got things like, my mother would get me pantyhose, or she would get me a little clasp for a sweater.
Wow. Wow.
But you know what? That was precious to her, because she came through the war.
Yeah.
When pantyhose, she thought that I would feel the same way about pantyhose that she did. But I did always get a doll, because I always loved dolls. And every year I remember the first year I didn't. I was 12 years old, and I thought I was going to die. I'd always been a grateful kid, you know, trying to be grateful in spite of the pantyhose and the pins that go on your sweater. Oh, but I was so disappointed that it was time to grow up, and I couldn't get a doll anymore.
I'll have to get you one this year, honey.
Well, you know, my sister got one the first year my mother was gone, and we still have it in our kitchen.
Yes, we do.
You know, and I cry every time we get it out, yeah, every year. Yeah. Well, what Christmas meant to me, not about Jesus. You know what it means to me. We'll get to that, of course, but just humanly speaking, was music. Oh, my goodness, music. Since I was a kid, I was part of music at Christmas. I remember we did the Messiah when I was just a kid, and I turned the pages for the pianist for our church, you know, choir. So I was just steeped in that. And as I got older and became a professional singer, I hardly had, honestly, this is not a good thing, but I was trying to bring money into my home for my family. I was going constantly singing. I was hired to be soloist for the Messiah, or I did solo concert work. I had one of my favorite concerts that I've ever done, really, in my life, was the Christmas concert that I developed with my accompanist, Larry Moore. And, Bruce, I don't know if you've ever heard that, but we did some very unusual things. Like, we did a song called "'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime," which was written by French missionaries who were bringing the gospel to the Indians. "'Twas in the moon of wintertime when all the leaves were bare, and mighty Manitou." I can't even remember the words, but it was just beautiful. And then I did a funny one called "Hush, Mrs. Teenage Mary." You should have been there. You should have been there, Bruce. So, anyway, music is the way I celebrate and express my faith. And I would also say music, certainly at Christmas time, we know the message of Christ. Those of you listening who are believers in Christ know the story about the birth of that baby in a manger in Bethlehem, and how the virgin gave birth, the angels speaking to that young girl, Mary. You know the story. But the thing that music does is it helps us experience that story in different ways. The same story set in a different setting. In fact, I want to stop for a second and give you an example. This was a song that came out several years ago, a long time ago, actually, and it's still my favorite. The words were so fresh about what happened in that manger, and it's sung by For Him, "Strange Way to Save the World." Let's listen.
I'm sure he must have been surprised where this road had taken him, 'cause never in a million lives would he
have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to say the Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to say the such a strange way to say the word. This is such a strange way, such a strange way, a strange way to say the word. Whoa.
That song never ceases to just bring me to a holy place. And I think about, you know, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the author of everything, the Creator, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, chose to send his son like this to a carpenter, to just a carpenter. That's what he says, I'm just a carpenter, why me? Just to a little girl of no reputation, just a young girl, why her? What a strange way to save the world. And of course, as we have our proper perspective, just the fact that God chose us and called us and has used us, it's strange. It's strange. If I'd been the one in charge, I wouldn't have chosen me to do what I've done. And yet that's who our God is. It's amazing. Well, Bruce, I was listening to that, and I thought, you know, going back in time, you were an angel once.
Yeah. Well, somewhat.
You kind of tell them that story.
When I was in second grade, our school was going to put on a production of The Littlest Angel. And somehow I was never teacher's pet except in second grade. Mrs. Miller, I don't know, she thought I was all this and that. And so she wanted me to play The Littlest Angel. And so sure enough, I get selected, and I remember it's the night of the performance, and we did one performance for the school during the day, and then they had one for the public at night. And I'll never forget the way the halo was is they made it out of coat hangers with garland around it, but they scotch taped it to my head. I had a crew cut at the time. Oh, my
Real
gosh. Blonde, I thought I was going to
white
die.
Blonde hair.
Yeah, this thing is all scotch taped to my head. And I had a kind of a short, just a white sheet as my robe. And so, of course, you wear your tidy whiteys underneath it. And I'll never forget, it's the second grader walking near the front of the stage as part of the production. And the band was right below me. And they were laughing because they could see my tidy whiteys under my little robe.
Oh,
that was mortifying.
The littlest angel had to be mortified.
And the other thing was everyone kept going louder, louder. I just couldn't get it in my head that you really had to project your voice. And anyway, it was fun. I still have the script. I still remember the first line.
We've got a picture. He's so cute.
I have come to present myself to the glorious kingdom of God. That was the opening.
that's so sweet. Well, I have one story, a Christmas story I thought it'd be fun to tell. Well, kind of an unusual story. Because those of you that know me, you've read my book. Yeah, read my book. I hate people when say that. But I was single for a very long time before I met Bruce, 17 years, I think, before we got married. And so I still had lots of company in my home because I wanted things to be normal. And I had so many wonderful friends, married couples, single people, and people from around the world who didn't speak English. That's how Jeremy was kind of enriched, I think, by some of the people that sat at our table. And so very blessed with that. But one particular Christmas, I wanted to ask a couple that were kind of needy. And they had been very good to me. And I really wanted to have them come for Christmas. They were just a little bit different. So when I told my dad that I had invited them, he said, "Why did you ask those people?" And I said, "Daddy, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. We'll have a big table and it'll be just fine." So I won't mention their names because I wouldn't want to defame their memory, except I would have to tell you some things or you won't think it's funny. So he was a gentleman who'd had a stroke and his speech was not clear. And plus he was a bit confused. And so I set him next to me at the table, and the table's all decorated, and the food's, you know, my mother was a great cook, and we both cooked together, and so we sat down at this beautiful table, and immediately when he sat down next to me, he spit his false teeth out, the whole set, and put them down by my plate. So I hustled and put a napkin while people were not noticing over his teeth, and so we had the dinner, and it was, I think, very lovely, and time passed and talking and talking, and it was time for him to go. And when it was time for him to go, he just said, "Where are my teeth? I like my teeth." And I had put them in a napkin next to my plate, so I didn't know what happened to his teeth because they weren't there. And so he's walking all around the house saying, shuffling would be more accurate, "I put them in my pocket. I put them in my pocket." And so my mother and I, we went through the black garbage bags with our bare hands and all the scraps from the dinner, all the bones, everything. We went through it all looking for his teeth as he's walking around the house saying, "I put them in my pocket." So everybody's going crazy. Nobody can find his teeth. And he's just getting really agitated. So my dad said, "Well, he says he put them in his pocket, so go look in the coat closet." So I opened the coat closet. It's packed with coats because this is Chicago, you know. And I put my hand in the first coat, And then in the second coat, and the third coat, I went through a whole bunch of coats. And finally, I got to this coat, and I stuck my hand on it, and there were his teeth. They were in a coat pocket. But guess whose coat it was? Bruce, it was Jeremy's coat. He was in high school then. And I thought to myself, I am so sorry I found these teeth. I would have given anything if Jeremy could have gone to school and stuck his hand in his pocket and grabbed Mr. Blank's teeth. That would have been so funny, but we didn't get that privilege. So anyway, isn't it hilarious?
I don't know if he would have had the same reaction had he been in front of his classmates in high school that this is cool. But it would have been memorable.
Yeah, memorable. Yes, memorable. And he never would have forgiven his mother.
No.
Yeah, so, well, Bruce, let's go. This is our Bruce and I. This is Sandy Rios 24/7, and we're just hoping to bring you some Christmas joy and also in a meaningful way. I want to just say that my husband has been so good to me this Christmas. Again, sometimes we have some sadness because we don't have a lot of family. And so my husband kind of picked up on my sadness, and he booked so many musical productions this Christmas. We've been going places every night. So we have to talk about that, Bruce. I think the first was, well, our church musical was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I was.
And you sang
it. And I sang in it. I did sang in two performances, and it was. The music was just beautiful. It wasn't anything that you all would know, but it was just gorgeous. Then where else did you take me? Do you remember?
Well, last night we went to the Vienna Lights Orchestra, which is a production of singers, orchestra, and the way the stage was set is they have hundreds and hundreds of candles, and then they had a dozen Christmas trees lit up, and they bring the lights down. So really, the lighting on the orchestra and everything is really just candles and Christmas tree lights. It's beautiful.
And ornate music stands with big red bows on them.
Yeah, yeah.
The old-fashioned stand, like you see in old movies, the 1800s.
And the orchestra is dressed in tuxedos and beautiful gowns, and every singer that came out had beautiful gowns on. They had some people come out and do a waltz. Of course, they're in a tuxedo.
Oh, yes. Wow.
I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, and the singers were amazing, and the girls had the most beautiful clothing. They changed every song. They changed. There's like probably seven or eight of them, and each song was that. So that was just absolutely beautiful. And I would say, too, we went to see David Foster in Orlando. David is the guy who wrote The Prayer. Andrea Bocelli's song. He wrote Celine Dion's songs, so many of them, and Whitney Houston, and oh gosh, I can't even think. He's written for Chicago, Peter Cetera, you know, anybody that is anybody in the last 20, 30
years.
Well,
he said he's been nominated for 45 Grammys.
Yeah, right. He was, and it was, so those songs were the soundtrack of my life, really. For so many years. I just, that was just wonderful, and you did that for me, honey. Thank you.
Yeah.
We have more to go, too. I don't even know. He's surprising me. There's like two more to go this week.
All right, I'll give up the surprise here.
Okay, what?
You, tomorrow night, we're going to see somebody who you already have played on this program, unbeknownst to you.
Really?
And I'll just leave it at that.
Anybody want to guess? Just call our number. You know how to reach me. I have no idea. But we'll let you know in the next year. Well, all right. I think... For Christmas Eve, we plan on having a lovely dinner with lots of friends, and Christmas Day we'll probably just enjoy each other. Or maybe you'll take me to London, right, last minute?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we have a backup ticket somewhere, right?
Yeah. Anyway, honey, it's just been such a joy to be married to you, and you have made Christmas so special every year we've been married. And I want to, I know Christmas, the season itself, is often separated from the worship of our Savior, and I don't want that to be the case. But I don't think he minds us having some fun, too. I just don't think so. And so, but thank you, honey, for all that. And I want to close with just encouraging all of you to remember that Bruce and I do this almost every day. We thank God for the day, and we name it by date. And we thank God that we are healthy and that we are free. I would recommend that to all of you just to keep perspective. We do not want to take anything for granted that we are experiencing now. We have such a great Savior, such a great Savior, and much of His work is ahead of us, and we're going to watch it unfold. I think it is already unfolding across the globe. So fasten your seatbelts. Our great God is on the move, and this is the celebration of His Son's birthday, and so we embrace it. We're going to close with our last song, and maybe it's one of our favorites. It's one that you all know. It's called Mary, Did You Know?
Your baby boy one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with His hand? Did you know the face of God? Oh Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. Your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding, the great I am. Oh Mary,
oh. Well, from the bottom of our hearts, Bruce's and mine, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. How about you, honey?
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes, thank you. Have a blessed Christmas, and we'll see you next year.